We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is there a point, a critical mass, so to speak, within the league or within a team that would cause you to shut down part of the schedule, all of the schedule?
There is certainly both. There's certainly both. I mean, I think that a team losing a number of players that rendered it completely non-competitive would be an issue that we would have to address and have to think about making a change. Whether that was shutting down a part of the season, the whole season, that depends on the circumstances. Same thing with respect to league-wide. You know, you get to a certain point league-wide where it does become a health threat, and we certainly would shut down at that point.
That's Commissioner of Baseball Rob Manfred. He was on ESPN. Is that from ESPN there, Jack?
MLB Network.
MLB Network. You know, kind of saying that, listen, the Marlins right now, they have 15 total players that have tested positive. There's 30 on the active roster. They could have more. More could test positive in subsequent days. Miguel Rojas, who was the noted clubhouse veteran who said they didn't consider not playing, like he was kind of the guy that was put in charge of talking with everybody and deciding if they were going to play on Sunday or not. He has tested positive, according to reports out there. So, you know, it kind of is what it is at this point. The Marlins are going to wait until, and we'll talk to John Heyman coming up here in a couple minutes. Marlins are going to wait till next week to play, and then the Phillies could be back Friday night to play. So no additional Phillies or no Phillies have tested positive. There was a visiting clubhouse attendant, a Phillies, Philadelphia visiting clubhouse attendant that tested positive. So that is the that's the extent of the positive test from the weekend with the Marlins being here. You know, at this point, you just hope that you don't have outbreaks like this and that, you know, guys really need the social distance to where if there is somebody testing positive, not everybody gets it. So we'll ask John Heyman about that coming up in a second. Also in the NFL, there are players that are now opting out, Ike, including a bunch from the New England Patriots, including Brandon Bolden, their running back, Dante Hightower, their starting right tackle, Marcus Cannon has opted out. The Ravens, one of their offensive linemen, Andre Smith, former Bengal, he opted out. Patrick Chung, also of the Patriots, opted out. So you're seeing a lot of players, Ike. Do you expect more players, I guess, the coming days?
I do. And I had been hearing that this was a part of the equation. And that's why, you know, when Malcolm was talking about making sure it's safe for everybody and all these other things, and I knew it would get louder as they got closer to training camp, and the NFL had yet to let these players know what the exact protocol was going to be to ensure their safety and the safety of their families as it pertains to them being exposed by coming into football complexes. Players didn't have the information. And the NFL drug their feet in some of these areas in getting that information to the players. Not only that, players wanted to know, well, what options do we have? Is this a all or nothing? Are we being forced to play? Is there something that protects me if I want to consider my safety and the safety and health of my family first? Am I going to be penalized for that? Is there a provision going to be put in place that's going to allow my contract to still be honored at some point? These are all the things they worked out over the last week that the owners sort of drug their feet on. And I give the NFLPA a lot of credit. They held the owners' feet to the fire with this, and they said, we're not coming to camp. So you can either get this thing done to where we feel okay coming in, and we want to have the ability to decide whether or not we get to play this year. and how that impacts us moving forward. Now, there's some give and take on both sides. The owners are going to look at this and say, hey, you guys want to do this? Or guys are going to opt out? Then this is how we're going to handle it, right? So everybody's got to give a little bit here. And I like the fact that players have the option of opting out. And if it's not COVID-19 related, meaning you've been infected and this is why you're not going to be able to play, you get $150,000, right? Advance money from your salary. Mm-hmm. Same thing if you are medically impacted by this. If you are having health concerns because of this, you get $350,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the Marcus Cannon was a mm-hmm. non-Hodgkin's lymphoma survivor. So I mean, it was
so he gets.
He gets $350,000, and that was talked about up there to where that really wasn't that much of a surprise because he's one of these high-risk guys.
Yeah, and so you should have the ability to do that. And here's the other thing that is probably better for the players that I like, because I was kind of confused on how would they handle the year, meaning do these guys – is this an accrued season, meaning do you get credit for this season? Does it – if you don't play – how does that affect your contract moving forward? Like, so for instance, Dante Hightower with the Patriots is basically forfeiting $8 million this year. But it just kicks into next year.
Correct.
So he gets paid $8 million next year.
And it counts towards your benefits and your pension.
Right.
And everything else.
These are all the little minor details.
And that's a big thing.
Oh, hell yeah, it is. That they've been working out. Because you got to realize, football contracts aren't guaranteed and the longevity in the league isn't very long.
Yeah, Hightower at age 32. Now, he'll be back next year. He's an important part of that defense. That's a big loss.
But that's still
$8 million at age 32. That's a lot of money to move on from. Now,
right. He's
made a lot of money in his career.
Mm-hmm.
But $8 million is a lot of
money. Yeah, he ain't made enough to turn away from $8 million. This ain't basketball, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so here's the thing I'd be worried about if I'm Dante Hightower, and especially with that Bill Belichick up there.
He's mad.
Well, will I get cut next year?
Yep, that's what I'd be worried about that too.
Like your contract isn't guaranteed.
This isn't baseball.
Your
basketball.
Salary is guaranteed if you make the roster next year.
Yeah,
if you make the opening day roster, your salary that you were supposed to get is guaranteed. And to the point you just made, he's 32 this year. You'll be 33 next year. You're more likely to be released next year than you would have been this year.
Much. Oh, they were. Yeah, he was making the team this year. They
that's
needed
right.
him,
so he would have made his money.
Joining us right now, the Radio.com Sports Insider, John Heyman. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. John Heyman, what's up, man? How are you?
How are you doing?
Well, John, we thought we'd be talking about baseball.
Yeah, we thought we were doing good for a couple days there.
Well,
yeah.
We got a couple
in. They're all healthy. That's what matters so far.
So give us the latest, first of all, on the Phillies. When do we expect or when will the Phillies be playing again? We've heard that it might be on Friday, and the next couple games are going to be postponed in New York.
Yes. Well, the plan is for the Phillies to play next on Friday and for the Marlins to play next on Monday. You know, the Phillies are doing daily testing now after having been with the Marlins for three straight days. They're very fortunate that only one test staff member came back positive today. No players positive. So that was very good, and hopefully that will remain the case. If it does, they will be able to play on Friday.
Why Friday? Is that just the day they feel comfortable with all the testing to where they feel like that if there was somebody that tested positive, they would have been tested positive by then?
Yes, I think so. I think that's what they feel comfortable with. They're not doctors. We're not doctors. They do have a doctor, Gary Green, who's a consultant for Major League Baseball, and they consult with him, and he gives it his best in advice and information, and that seems to be what they think right now, that they can go Friday. I mean, if they get negative tests today, tomorrow, seems pretty good to me. But, again, I really don't have a medical degree.
John, let's go back to Sunday. The Marlins knew they had positive tests. They voted that they were going to play. Is that the way it's supposed to go? How is it supposed to go in Major League Baseball? Was the league involved in that decision? Should the league be involved in that decision? What do we know about that?
Yeah, well, at some point, the league probably needs to get involved. And I guess with hindsight, we could say maybe the league should have said don't play. you know, it doesn't appear they've infected any Phillies at this point. Of course, it was just one day of testing. We'll see about tomorrow or the next day. But, you know, that's probably not a bad idea when you're four to have the league get involved. And in hindsight, that seems very smart. I didn't hear anybody say that at the time. You know, the Marlins decided to play. They thought they knew who their four positives were. They were not playing. They were scratched. Everybody was aware of that. And we didn't know they had 11 other positives on the team at the time. You know, so in hindsight, though, that does sound pretty smart that they shouldn't have played. But I do think it's a little unfortunate. Miguel Rojas said, was quoted as saying our mindset was to play. And, you know, people are criticizing him, saying he's not a doctor. Well, I mean, they put it in his hands. It's really not. It's a player, so that is.
Well, let me ask you this, John. Based on these test results and things of this nature, and coming off of Sunday's game, if Jorge Alfaro tested positive Saturday, or possibly, I mean, was it Friday before the Phillies series, and he wasn't allowed to play, like, why wouldn't that have had an impact on the Marlins roster and whether or not they should have been allowed to open a series against the Phillies if they may have had a player in their clubhouse that had already tested positive before the season started?
Well, the players are tested every other day, and I think that the protocols don't suggest that one positive test would mean that the whole team would shut down. You know, I guess doctors could take a look at that and have different advice. The MLB does have its own doctors, and they went with these protocols as the best way to do it. You know, one player doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, apparently one player, I'm not saying it's Alfaro, who knows, in this case we have 15 total. So one player might have gotten too close and infected several others, and they may have infected the others and may have just gone on from there, but it's hard to tell. I mean, the team was in Miami, which is the epicenter for COVID right now. Could have been there. It could have been on the travel. Of course, 14 other teams traveled, and so far we don't have any major issue with any of them. So I am not ruling out the fact that just that these guys were in Miami. And, you know, Miami's a very bad spot to be in for COVID at this moment. And some of them got it in Miami. Now, I would think some of them gave it to each other. I wouldn't think 15 out of 30 got it by being in Miami. But, you know, I wouldn't rule it out. There is an incubation period. They did start failing on Friday, you know, three or four days after they left Miami.
John, so what is it that they may not make these games up, right? Like right now they're being called postponed, but is it true that they could just go by winning percentage? If the Phillies and the Yankees couldn't make up these games, the Marlins is going to be tough to make up these games. They'll just go by winning percentage, but at the end of the year they won't make up the games?
You know, I don't think that's been determined. The hope is to play 60 games. The interleague games are less likely to be made up, perhaps, but I think they're going to try to make them up. They're gonna do their best. So I'm not ruling out that they could play every team could play 60 games. I think at this point they'll be happy if some teams play 60 games. You know, say so, you know, if somebody's left at 54 and everybody else has got 60, they'll have to deal with that at the time. But I think that they're gonna try to get everybody to play the 60.
John, do you see this being a problem in finishing the games? You know, it's the first weekend, but like you said, it's only one team. But I guess it only takes one person on that team, and we see how fast it flies in the clubhouse. You think it's going to be tough to finish the season?
Yeah, I mean, there are no guarantees. We knew that going in. You know, I'm not going to put a percentage on it, but this is certainly a major crisis at this point. We had little hurdles, hiccups, whatever you want to call them, early in spring training where the tests got back late and teams missed practices. But now we're missing games. And, you know, I would say that this is a crisis. And, you know, we're not at the point where they're really seriously considering calling off the season, nor would I say they should, right, considering they started it. And it hasn't, just one team. I mean, I say just one team, but it is not good. There's 15 players on one team, and we certainly wish the best for all of them. But I would say we're not to that point and not necessarily that close to that point where they're seriously considering shutting the whole thing down. Mm.
John Heyman, thank you. Yep. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, there he is, Radio.com Sports Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. So there you go. You know, it's odd because if there's one player that tests positive, but they're not going to wipe out the entire team. They're just going to remove that player. That makes sense, right? But they also have to go back and trace where this guy was. Who were you close to? Did you go out to dinner with anybody? Were you wearing masks? Were you guys in an indoor area together? Like, that's where they need to figure it out. And I think a lot of this, like you said this earlier, and this goes on management, the manager, the Phillies organization, every organization, to make sure that the players mm-hmm. are wearing masks and are socially distancing themselves when they're at the facility. You can't when they're outside of the game and the game area, you can't enforce that as easily. But when they're at the park or they're in the bus or wherever else, they can't be standing next to each other. It's pretty clear how this spread here with the Marlins in Philadelphia. So, I mean, it's one way to kind of stop it from happening again.
And the MLB did just officially announce that the Phillies won't play till Friday.
So it's official.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Out of their word was, out of an abundance of caution.
Yeah, that just means the players don't want to go and play, and the Yankees probably don't want to play against the Phillies right now, considering they just finished a series versus Miami. So you got to wait till the next series comes up.
Yep. Yeah. So
I mean, that's really what it boils down to. The Yankees probably don't want to have to play the Phillies.
Yeah, both teams don't want to do it. The Phillies don't want to travel up to New York. The Yankees don't want them bringing.
Well, no, the Phillies would have had to go. Right? That's part of the schedule, but the Phillies were the team that were in contact with the team that just had an outbreak on it.
Sure.
So the Yankees are like, nah, we're good. We're good. Just get us to the next series.
Yep. So they will shift to Baltimore, and they'll play down in Baltimore. The Phillies, meanwhile, resume their season on the road at Citizens Bank Park on Friday night. The Blue Jays don't have a home park, so they're hosting the series, so the Phillies don't have to go anywhere.
Right.
I think the last time this happened was 2009. And that's when Worth had that three home run game.
They played in their own as road.
Yeah, the Phillies were the Jays came here as the road team.
Oh, because of G20 summit, and they were worried about security, so they had the game down here.
Yeah,
I remember that.
I gotta be honest, man. This may not be the last time, because if players, like, say you have two or three guys test positive. We don't know how many guys that these players are going to need to see test positive on one team before they're like, whoa, I'm not going in there. Right? If it's one player, they may not respond a certain way. But if it's four or five guys, then you're going to get the opposing team.
Let's say hell no.
I don't want to be a part of that. And that's what the Yankees were with the Phillies. So I would imagine that's going to cause the league to have to shift where you play games at. So – I mean, it works out this year perfectly because there are no fans.
Yeah, it really shouldn't. It shouldn't.
It really shouldn't be that big of a deal, quite frankly.
As long as they have the hotel rooms and they're able to house the boys, which, by the way, I doubt hotels are
very full to capacity. Right?
Yeah, it really should. Like the Yankees are just now going to probably take the bus down to Baltimore.
Probably, yeah.
From Philly, and then they're going to play an unscheduled two games against the Orioles because the Orioles aren't playing because they were scheduled to play the Marlins.
Yeah.
So there you go. We'll get back to the phones. We'll get back to this Carson Wentz stuff for a second. I want to bring up D'Amico Ryans' birthday today. All right? Like, just kind of looking through or whatever, and I saw there was a tweet that said, happy birthday, former Eagle D'Amico Ryans, right? 36 years old. But didn't feel like he should be much older than 36.
I thought he was 36 when he played here.
Yes. He looked a little bit older. But yes, 36 years old. D'Amico Ryans, like, is one of those guys that, I think he was here for four seasons. He was a really good player. Now, he got hurt in his third season, and after he came back from the injury, you know, he wasn't the same player, plus he was in his early 30s. Mm-hmm. But we never discussed D'Amico Ryans in any kind of, like, Eagles conversation. It's almost like, not that he wasn't an Eagle, but he's just one of those guys that we don't talk a lot about in our Eagles conversations of the past. He was here one or two years under Andy, and then he was Chip. Then he was an inside linebacker in Chip's defense, or the Billy Davis defense. Mm-hmm. But D'Amico, listen, good player, right?
Very good player.
Yeah.
I mean, when he was healthy, yeah.
Yeah, good player. First 2 years when he was here. So, Jack, put this up as our 3 o'clock Twitter question. And our Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. 5 years, no interest in all diamond rings purchased in July. Mark's-Jewelers.com.
It's Mufasa.
Yes.
I loved D'Amico when he was here.
Hey, he was good, man. Yeah. For a team that doesn't have a lot of great linebackers, D'Amico was really good. Who are some of the other players? How are you going to word it, Jack?
I'm thinking good players here that don't get talked about enough.
Yeah. Yeah, we barely ever talk about D'Amico Ryans. So I got a couple other ones there that we can throw into the list as well. So at Marks Reese WIP, give us some, or 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones and with Carson Wentz. Right, Carson Wentz didn't make the NFL top 100 list. In Pro Football Focus, he was considered a tier 3 quarterback, and The Athletic had him like around 11 or 12. He was in the middle of tier 2. Is he underrated? Is Carson Wentz underrated nationally when it comes to being a quarterback? Let's go to Corey in Willow Grove. Corey, go ahead. How are you? Corey. Oh, no. Randall, Germantown. Randall, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi, Randall.
What's up, Randall?
Yeah, he's absolutely criminally underrated. As one of the callers pointed out earlier, just that throw to Miles Sanders, I think, is a good microcosm of Carson's ability. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many people in the city watch every play of every game like many of us do, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. But how many guys, as Ike said earlier, are you taking ahead of him?
I don't think that's the list, though.
I understand that, but if you're starting a team today, I mean, if you look at – they put Dak on the list. If you're putting Dak Prescott on this list, how many people in the NFL are going to tell you, I want Dak Prescott on my team ahead of someone like Carson?
GMs, I don't think many. Or more, right. More GMs would say Carson over Dak, yes.
So I understand that it's a player-based list, and that makes it more of a popularity contest, I guess, in essence, mm-hmm. more than anything.
Yep.
You know, maybe a season-to-season popularity contest. Mm-hmm. But in terms of pure ability of, you know, on the field, you've got guys like Ike who have played in the league, know the game, and to a T, almost all of those guys who have played have nothing but great things to say about him. You have plenty of analysts out there who say, oh, Carson, but the guys who played the game, almost to a T, say, this kid is special, he's got the it factor. And I just don't understand the hate he gets even in our city. You know, I'm still hearing about Nick Foles every day.
Yep.
You know?
You're the first person that brought him up, at least on this show today.
I think I heard him mention a little bit. You guys brought up earlier that, you know, guys have that Nick Foles hangover, yep. and that affects kind of his ranking. Oh, well, you know, Nick won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so, but hang on a second. Like, what are you saying about Carson Wentz? Like, your first example that you brought up was the throw to Miles Sanders. We know he has great ability. Like, but so what are you talking about? Like, what he's accomplished, where he is right now? I don't think he's underrated.
I disagree. I think I hear a lot of negative things about him. For example, was he clutch? Could he carry a team? Ike brought it up earlier. Those four games last year should have had him being, you know, they should have been touting him in the media. It's always amazing. Look what he did with this crew of guys.
They did, though? Yes, because if he didn't have that, and Randall, thank you. If he didn't have that, then it wouldn't have been a successful year. The last four games of the season was what made it a success. They made the playoffs. Carson did a lot with guys that were maybe not even NFL players in some cases, right? Like, that's why he's being discussed in this conversation as being with the rest of these quarterbacks. When did anybody not say anything about the last quarter of last season? He was great. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. 215-592-9494. We'll get back into the Carson Wentz discussion.
Well, if he was great, then he should be spoke about in such reverence, like he should be. If you feel that way, then he should be propped up more. Like he just should be. He just should be. Instead, what gets brought up is he did that against a weak NFC East division.
Which is true.
Well, how did that get ranked where he's at?
Totally overrated, Dak.
So
I don't.
And by the way, the Patriots played in the weak AFC East for 20 years. So it don't matter about the division. Like, that's just another argument against him that people want to use against him. Because the counter to that would be, well, it's not like he had NFC East wide receivers on his team going against those NFC East DBs.
No, wide receivers. And when
he went up against the darlings of the league, and the quarterback that everybody wants to put ahead of him in the most meaningful game of the season for both, with a playoff berth on the line, not only did he win with subpar talent at key positions going up against that team, Dak looked terrible in the game.
He did.
Not like it was a shootout and the Eagles just had the ball last and won, Dak didn't even show up to the game. Neither did Amari Cooper, by the way.
215-592-9494. It is Marks and Reese. Back into the Carson Wentz discussion. Is he underrated? Does he get underrated, especially nationally? And who are some good players throughout Philly sports that we don't talk enough about? Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Back with your phone calls next.
Hey, sports are back, and you can find all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Now, last night, we missed out on that over-under, Jackie, baseball.
Barely.
Just barely, man. Just barely. I tell you, there's people out there, they know what they're talking about when they set these over-under lines. But I apologize. We're back tonight. Seattle Mariners plus 148 over Los Angeles. That's the Angels, that is, tonight. Like Seattle tonight, man. You like that. The underdog makes a little bit of extra cash, too, going with the underdog tonight. Now, whether you've been betting on FanDuel Sportsbook for a while or you're new to the app, FanDuel has two great ways to win that you don't want to miss. First off, FanDuel is adding $10 in free bets to every account, no deposit required, and no strings attached. Did that get your attention? Then check this out. In addition to your $10 bonus, FanDuel is also giving you a day of risk-free betting. Now, that means you can place any bet you want on baseball, basketball, and hockey and get up to $100 back on your total losses. Now, what would you bet on with a day of risk-free betting? Here's what you got to do. Check out sportsbook.fanduel.com for betting lines. And if you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, then you're all set. Just use your $10 bonus and day of risk-free betting before they expire on August 2nd. And if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, then what are you waiting for? Just type in fanduel.com/Ike to get started so they know that I sent you. Again, that's fanduel.com/Ike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.